All right, episode 73. We're back, Rob.
73 is a wonderful number.
Are there any famous 73s out there?
I'm one. I was born in 1973.
Okay, well, there you go. All right, 73, right? That's a wonderful number. I was thinking more along the athlete number.
You know, 73?
A sports star that had a 70. I mean, that's an offensive lineman
in
football. You know, there's not a lot of soccer guys wearing 73.
No.
You know, because I was thinking about what we're about to talk about in regards to numbers and how does 73 tie into it.
So. I can't think of any favorite. Oh, I'm yawning.
No, I know.
Jeez Louise.
We're putting the audience to sleep already.
Let me drink my caffeinated water.
Blathering on about 73. All right. Today's topic, I thought, since we both watched it, wrapped up for good. So spoiler alerts, everybody, even though you're going to see the subject title on your iPod or whatever. Let's chat Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso. We'll do a little review, talk a little bit about Apple's marketing potentially, some fails. I've got some thoughts on some opportunities missed, things like that, right? But three magical seasons of Ted Lasso, although I think you might jump in and say, was the third season magical, you know? We might have differing opinions on the final season. That's kind of what I'm saying, I guess, you know? But it started, I think, kind of came out of nowhere. I know that Sudeikis had that character years beforehand and actually did Premier League like advertising or something. So, I mean, so it was kind of a advertorial fictional character to begin with. Right.
And then he evolved it. I think he evolved the character, I think, based on Trump and like just the state of the world.
Was it?
Like,
well, he still was a dumb American reporting on, I say dumb, but like he was a, you know, like a silly American reporting on the highest levels of soccer. That always was.
Yes. But I think, and I might be totally making this up. So somebody fact check me. Rachel, fact check me.
Yeah.
I think that the character had a little more edge to him. Okay. And I feel like I read that somewhere, and that after, and I don't know if the Trump tie-in was necessary or not, but just the state of the world and how we're so on edge and everybody's tense.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff happening.
World's a crazy
that
place.
That he then softened the character to be 100% likable.
The lovable.
Yeah, the lovable teddy bear that he was.
Yeah, so I think season one, I think for a lot of people, kind of came out of nowhere, unfamiliar with the character, you know, didn't have that sort of soccer background. And I think it definitely, you know, sometimes if we tie it into advertising, it's right place, right time, right everything, a little bit of luck involved, right? But it was, man, we're all in lockdown, you know? I mean, the world is a burning, raging fire of COVID, right?
A lot of TV watching.
Yeah, we're all hunkered down. And here is this magical, little, silly, feel-good show, right, that in this kind of dark time for a lot of people, right, or uncertain time, it was this weird little glimmer of hope that had such a great, optimistic sort of premise, and also tinged with reality on, like, if you think about that first season, like, they weren't super successful, you know? It was just the positive mindset, the positive attitude, you know, and the love and all that good stuff. I mean, obviously, his marriage is falling apart. They're not winning soccer games, things like that, right? The press is all over him. The players don't like, you know what I mean? It was, you know, there's a lot of negativity around him, but he withheld all that negativity, kind of forced it off, you know, and was a positive light, right?
Well, I think that, the part of it too is the state of the world. Everybody's just sort of jaded on all the things.
Sure.
And his character is just pure innocence.
Yeah.
I mean, just purely an innocent character.
Yeah.
And honest. And also, too, the writing in season one and season two.
So good.
But season one out of the gate, the writing was so good.
Yeah.
And just the references.
Yeah.
The social commentary with these just little amazing quips and references and
I would call it sharp and witty. Would you call it sharp and witty?
Yeah, but written in such a, it's sharp and witty,
but intelligent
lines for a character who kind of doesn't seem sharp and witty. Which that's the magic of the writing, I think.
Yeah.
On that character.
Well, he's balanced by Grumpy Puss, Coach Beard, right?
Yeah.
Who you always see him reading. He's always reading. Right.
Yeah.
Even though he's this cranky curmudgeon, you know what I mean? Then boom, he hits you with these, there's the Red Hot Chili Peppers reference. I mean, there's all these funny little pop culture reference, but then, you know, literary references, all sorts of good stuff. Right.
Yeah. I think, and I think also too, if you think about, right place, right time, a few things happening, right? So obviously you have the rise of MLS and soccer in America.
Yeah.
That's been, we were talking about this yesterday, but that's been happening over the past decade or so.
Yeah.
So that, and it's now at a
fevered pitch.
Dare we say. So I think that helped, right? Yeah. Interest in soccer or football, depending on what you want.
Yeah. But
then also, too, you had this odd parallel of Wrexham.
Okay.
Right? Which is almost the real world.
The real world Ted Lasso
yeah. thing happening with Ryan Reynolds and
Rob McElhenney.
Yeah. Those guys who bought, for those who aren't familiar, who went in and bought the actor and writer yeah. who went and bought the team in yeah. Wrexham.
Yeah. Now I would say, I think time wise, even though the purchase probably happened beforehand,
yeah.
they really were running simultaneous during season two.
Season two.
And again, for those that don't know, you know, the two actors bought, now it's actually, I think they bought the team and they bought the stadium in Scotland, right? In Wrexham, correct. Scotland. And it is the oldest still viable professional sporting arena, like in the world or whatever, something like that. It's some crazy statistic.
Some crazy stat like that.
Like it's been yeah. running since like the yeah. late 1700s. It's some totally insane. And they, of course, filmed this entire thing, turned it into, an arguably very successful TV show
yeah.
on FX. And part of that's because of their writing and the way that they told the story. You know,
yeah,
it's like
absolutely.
One episode's all about why they did it. One episode's about the cast of characters at the team.
Yeah.
You know, then you've got the fans, you've got the city, you've got why us. I mean, there's a lot of fun little narratives. And then you have, obviously, the performance of the team itself.
But I think right? you could, I think one could make an argument. I think you're right. I think season two was where that storyline kind of ran parallel.
Yeah.
But I think you could argue that that made Ted Lasso almost even more plausible in a strange kind of way because
yeah.
it was really
yeah.
happening in this mm-hmm. in the real world.
Yeah.
So I think that was a fortunate thing for everybody. I think
yeah.
that went both ways. I mean,
yeah.
Wrexham was like, yes, Ted Lasso's a hit. We're,
yeah.
Know. So anyway.
No, I mean, what is the rising tide rises all ships?
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
One great restaurant on the block can help promote other great restaurants on the block, that type of thing, right? So, yeah, there's definitely success there. I think so. Out of nowhere, boom, Ted Lasso, everybody loves it. I would say, before we jump into really season two and season three, we can talk about our thoughts on season three. I would say that one thing I was very surprised at, I would consider this very unusual for Apple, right, was all of a sudden they got this hit on their hands. They have absolutely no merch, no nothing, no way to really monetize it.
Yeah.
Outside of Apple TV subscriptions and things, right? To me, it was a natural for, in this soccer culture of everybody buying the jersey of their favorite player or their favorite team or
yeah.
customizing their jerseys and stuff like that. It was like, man, there's no jerseys for Ted Lasso at all, right? For the Fighting Greyhounds, right? And then it was like, boom, there are black market ops everywhere,
yeah.
all over the internet, all the bootlegs, and everybody was buying the bootlegs because they didn't have a legitimate source of where to go to get the traditional AFC Richmond gear.
Now, did they ever come out and do that?
Yeah.
When that
yeah.
season two came
yeah.
around?
Yeah. 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 So mid-season two, you finally have things.
Yeah.
And you have official merch and stuff like that.
You can't
right?
do that before you know it's a hit.
Now, it is bizarre, though, too, circumstances of member supply chains were all over the place.
Right.
I mean, there's countries that have no paper. I mean, like
yeah,
the container world
ships are
place.
Parked offshore
yeah.
just kind of hanging out.
Yeah, exactly. So I do want to throw them that bone, you know?
Yeah.
But not having any type of merch or any type of – it felt very – unlike Apple, to kind of not foresee a way to, and again, you don't know what you have.
You can test it all you want
yeah.
and think it's going to be a hit.
Sure, sure.
But I mean, there's no way to.
Yeah.
And you're not going to invest in all that product if you don't. You
well,
know?
But with print on demand and drop ship, and I mean, every single Netflix you know, show has merch on the Netflix store, this and that. You know, I don't know. It was just, it was rare for me to sort of feel that way about Apple, you know, because it was, oh man, everyone would have bought, you know, there were so many kits that would have been bought, I think, for Christmas presents and things like that.
Yeah.
Right. So, but season two, I thought was great. You know, I mean, I don't know if I don't have any specific show notes or whatever on season two and sort of what I thought about.
No, season two to me was very much a continuation of season one.
Yeah.
And you had some big plot shifts
yeah.
Along the way with Nate and some other
yeah.
things that happened
yeah.
in season two.
Yeah. And I think, was it season two where they had already filmed everything and the Apple ordered two more episodes? And that's why you got the two kind of oddball episodes. You had Beard's Night Out.
Right.
Right. And I think it was, again, because of COVID, because of flight restrictions, because of all these different things, they had to patchwork these weird little stories together. So I think they had only done 6 episodes, and Apple was like, "Nope, we need 8." You know.
Well, that, I don't know, but that would make sense. I remember Beard's episode was a one-off.
Yeah, so Beard's Night Out was really just him, right? And then you had the alternate one, which was Rebecca and Ted giving, you know, doing Thanksgiving stuff, right? Doing donation stuff. Concurrent with a few of the players all having
going to dinner together.
Yeah, with I forget the guy's name, but him and his wife, who were actually writers on the show, and that's really his wife.
Wasn't Beard one of the writers, and he ended up playing the character?
Roy Kent. It was Roy Kent.
Yeah, okay, Roy Kent, not story. Beard.
Yeah. But Beard is a legit like American outlaw soccer guy. Like, I mean, he's always been a huge soccer. Yeah. I forget the actor's name.
He's great. But although I thought everybody was great.
Everyone was awesome. Which brings us to season 3, right? Before season 3 comes out, the world finds out, hey, this is it. Ted Lasso's done.
Right.
Final season. Yeah. Like, we're wrapping it up, right? Series wrap up. I think both of us at that time had the same vibe on, you know what? I'm totally okay with that. Like, no one wants a season 7 of Ted Lasso. You know, it was, hey, tell a great story, you know, and get in and get out. Right. So I think going into it, I was like, okay, this is, you know, like, I'm fine with that. You know, we knew Succession was wrapping up. Barry was wrapping up. All these things are wrapping up. Right. And I think, you know, 4 seasons, 3 seasons, that's a great way to do it. Right. But then we get to season 3.
Yeah.
And I think we have, things are different. They're not like what they used to be. Right.
No, I mean, in a nutshell, it's splintered in many different ways. Yeah. And you all of a sudden had all of these sort of subplots happening. And for me,
go ahead and rip it, dude.
I was just trying to think how to say it. It lost its way. It was rudderless for a while. And there were certain, and I guess this happens a lot of times, but I think most every subplot that was happening, I didn't really care about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't care about the PR firm.
Yeah. Keely's.
Yeah. I didn't care about that. I didn't really care about Nate being the waiter at the restaurant.
Yeah.
It just was fractured for me. Sure. And also too, I think probably more importantly for me, the writing took a hit.
Yeah.
It lost its edge and it lost the great references and it felt mailed in a little bit, you know?
Yeah. It was it was very fragmented away from, I think, what the core of the show was, right? We've got Rebecca on a boat in Amsterdam for an episode, you know, we've got, although it was funny to learn, you know, that, Roy doesn't know how to ride a bike. You know, I mean, there still were a lot of Ted Lasso truthisms,
sure.
But the splintering thing. And I think we all knew this is a weird one because we all know it's going to wrap up. And yet, Nate the Great has turned into the villain, right? Yeah. And then it was like, okay, make him the villain. This is awesome. Like, he's turned heel, right?
Yeah.
But then immediately, it's, oh, no, we got to have sympathy for Nate because, you know, Rupert's kind of being a jerk and this is happening. You know, and Nate's the reluctant that, you know, and it was like, wait a minute. Well, hey, am I supposed to feel bad for Nate or am I not supposed to feel bad for Nate or what's going on? You know, and then you kind of know what's going to happen.
Kind of know.
Yeah. Well, I'm giving them the
benefit
of
the doubt. It's pretty well telegraphed.
You know, what's going to happen before it happens. And then you have to trudge through 6 episodes of that, right? Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, what is going on?
And you lost, I mean, the whole Rupert character was great in the first 2 seasons.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I loved the tension.
I loved when everybody loved when Ted beat his ass at darts.
Yeah, it was great. And you lost that in season 3, too.
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, it's a wise man once said, you got to know when to fold them.
Yeah.
You got to know when to walk away. Okay. And they did. And so I think that in retrospect, season 3 wasn't as great as season 2 and season 1, but it was fine. It was a nice way to wrap it up. 3-season little package with a bow on it.
Yeah.
And now we send it off to sea. And
okay. If you're given season 1 an A, just for the sake of argument, what do you think, you know, what are you giving season 3?
C plus.
Okay. See, I'm still going to give it a B plus.
Nah, I'm going to give it a C plus.
Okay.
No,
go ahead.
Relative to season 1.
Relative to season 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it was as, I was happy with the landing. Even though some of it's telegraphed, I did like that. And again, spoiler alerts, everybody. I did like that, you know, they didn't win. You know, like it's, I don't want it to be, we are jaded. You mentioned earlier with this weird jaded society that, you know, if things are too good, it's not real, you know, things like that. Right. So I do like that, you know, they didn't come in first. They came in second.
Right.
You know, not everything broke their way. It's not this Miracle on 34th Street kind of amazing ending, you know, that type of thing.
That's what we have Wrexham for.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, what's interesting about sports documentaries too, even if you talk about Full Swing or you talk about A Drive to Survive, the F1, you know, is, yeah. you know, now that Wrexham's a thing, right? Welcome to Wrexham, the show. And we know everything. Well, real time is happening before the show is going to happen. So we all know how the second season of Wrexham is going to end.
Right.
Right. And I think that, I mean, man, I, you know, again, fact check me on this one, Rachel, but I feel like that first season of Wrexham was like 17 or 18 episodes. I mean, it's substantially longer than a streaming service show. Right. So we know where Wrexham ends, you know, they do get promoted.
They got promoted. Shocker,
you know? So, hey, how do you keep the attention of somebody for 20 episodes, you know, knowing how it's going to end, right? It's kind of an interesting thought to think about.
Well, I think, you know, back to Ted, like, they had to wrap it up that way.
Yeah.
It was telegraphed, but they had to. It had to be happy, and everybody had to get along, and everybody had to kind of move on and get a good space, which is fine.
Yeah.
It's exactly what the show should have been, and I'm glad they knew when to, you know, now there's, you know, we're going to get offshoots.
Rumblings
of offshoots and things. And I was saying this to you earlier today. I'm done with the Ted Lasso universe.
Yeah, you're not dipping back in.
I had a great time. It was a wonderful vacation. I enjoyed it.
You're on to the next universe.
And now I'm on to the next universe.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go back. I mean, if something comes up on in the Ted Lasso sphere, I'm going to go back. There's certain things I know I don't need, so I'll be curious as to see what they do. But this is that interesting push-pull of creativity, right?
Yeah.
Sudeikis and everybody writing and creating the show, and then the intersection of art and commerce, right? Well, studios going, man, cash cow. I mean, I have to imagine the numbers of season one versus season two versus, you know, it's a bar graph going up, right? And now it's up. You guys are done? No, like keep this money train rolling.
Yeah, they'll keep the money train rolling. I get it, but it's also like here's an analogy. So, if you think back to, we're gonna pick on spinoffs for a second, right? I know you are a fan of Saul from Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Right? And
yes.
Then they went on to do Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Which I didn't watch.
Yeah.
I loved Saul's character in Breaking Bad because you only saw little snippets of him here and there.
A little bit.
It's the same with Roy.
Okay.
Right? So Roy's going to have a spinoff.
A larger.
Presumably.
A larger premise.
We think.
Yeah.
And even in season three of Lasso, where he was more prominent of a character.
Yeah.
It loses its luster because you liked him, just the grumpy old codger, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so the more you get of that, to me, it just waters the character down.
Yeah, lessens the impact.
I was trying to think of spinoffs that I have watched.
Spinoffs that are watched or even better than the original?
Either way.
I have no idea. Television, this is going to sound crazy, but like television and movies, I consume them and then jettison them out of my brain. It takes something very special for me to really remember something. I mean, I'll watch a movie and be like, I don't like, you know, a year later, I know I watched it, but I won't recall the quote, you know, that Kyler says in the office or that scene or whatever, you know?
But I don't do spinoffs. I don't think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm so down deep in the Marvel universe, every single thing's a spinoff of something.
Well,
else,
right,
so.
But that's a little bit different. I don't know why I consider it different.
Okay.
Probably because it's superhero, like it's just different.
Yeah,
For me.
Well, it's
versus a Better Call Saul from out of Breaking Bad kind of situation.
Well, that spinoff too is here's all the cast of characters, and then I think the spinoff you're mentioning is we've just taken one of those and extracted that, and we're just telling the story from that one person's perspective. Right.
Right.
Yeah, for the most part, they don't really work as well because it's an ensemble, you know? I mean, the 80s, they tried a bunch of stuff, you know? Wasn't 227 a spinoff of The Cosby Show or something like that? Or
I don't even remember. 227?
Okay, well, someone will fact check me and I'll be totally wrong. I mean, there were other little spinoffs out of things. Network television did a lot of that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
You know? But I'm not going to really, again, I'm not going to recall all that stuff, so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can send our mess ups and all the things we incorrectly said into the hotline, you know, and correct us from there.
Right.
And where can the people send those notes, Mr. Rob?
Well, if they are like me and enjoy surfing the internet, they can type in World Wide Web, but www for
what,
short.
What about that HTTP stuff?
/:. Yeah, yeah, you got to have that because we're secure. Mm-hmm. We're secure.
SSL certs, people.
Right. MockTheAgency.com, of course, and then on the socials at MockTheAgency. And yeah, drop us a note.
Cool.
Thoughts on Ted Lasso or otherwise.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.